tuning in to Art and Business and Murals, a podcast about running a small creative business with interviews, artist stories, and industry tips. I hope this podcast keeps you company on what can sometimes feel like a solo journey.
Hi, and welcome to episode 25 of the Art and Business and Murals podcast. And I'm your host, Sarah Scully, and today we are talking about imposter syndrome. I'm going to talk about what is it? Do you have it? And how you can hopefully overcome it. Now, the reason why I'm talking about imposter syndrome is because it's something that I've been, let's say, dancing with for most of my career. And I was first told about this syndrome when I was in my early 20s. And I was living in China at the time, and my dad came over to visit. And we stayed out one night, and I remember asking him, you know, are you looking forward to your retirement? And my dad was a scientist. He had his PhD, so he was a doctor. He was the president of the Epstein-Barr virus global group. He was the head of his lab, got all the grants. He had a number of people working under him. He was extremely successful. And he said to me, I'm looking forward to retiring because then I will have made it to the end of my career without anyone finding out I was a fake. And I was like, what? I was gobsmacked. And he said that his entire career, he had always felt like a fake, like he wasn't good enough, that he didn't know enough, that he hadn't researched enough. And he will just be so thrilled to get to the end of his career and he will have fooled everyone. And we spoke about it for ages and he told me about all the feelings. And I thought, that's exactly how I feel now. You know, I'd been given a job in China and moved over there and was working as an art director. Although, mind you, they did fire me after a little while and I was running my own business instead. But the whole time I felt like a fake, like I didn't belong, that I must have been the only Western graphic designer there and that's why I was getting all the work. It wasn't because I was actually good at what I did. And so to hear my dad talk about it was just mind-blowing. At the end of this podcast episode, I'm going to give you a few tips on how to overcome imposter syndrome. And one of them is by sharing your story and telling people about it and talking about imposter syndrome and essentially normalizing it a little bit, because so many people are suffering from it. And if you keep it inside yourself and internal, it doesn't help. What is imposter syndrome? Well, it's not really a syndrome. It's because you're not inflicted with it. It's more like an experience or a phenomenon. So syndrome probably isn't the right word, but I'm just going to stick with it because that's what it's most commonly known as. But it's generally feeling like you're a fraud. So feeling like you're not good enough, or that the work that you're producing is not perfect enough, or that the success that you've gotten is just because you're lucky. It's feeling like you don't deserve the success that you've had. And even that feeling, much like my dad's, that you'll get found out that you're a fake. Now, a lot of this comes from societal beliefs, and a lot of it comes from hypercritical upbringing. So it can, and it might not always be the case, but it can go back to your family, the upbringing that you had. It could be any of the community groups, your church groups, your sporting groups, and their expectations and their criticisms of you as a small child and as you're growing up in critical years. It can also come from gender stereotypes and the thought around what you should be doing. So for me, I was born in the 80s, and I feel like a lot of 80s and 90s babies are now, you know, the should was go to university, graduate, get a full-time job, stay in that job, maybe switch once or twice in your career and then retire. And that's what the generation before us was doing. So that's what we thought we should do. But a lot of us are very different. And a lot of us were jumping from job to job or even starting our own businesses. And when we weren't following societal expectations, that's when the imposter syndrome started to kick in. You know, we might not have had the full support of our parents or our caregivers because a lot of the time they were quite confused as to what we were doing and why we weren't doing these full-time secure jobs. So that's when you start to question yourself and you start thinking that you're a fraud, and that you're faking it till you make it. It's quite common in high achieving women, although the initial study that they did in the 70s, they only studied women who were high achievers. So this could be around their subject matter in that study. But I do know of a lot of high achieving women who feel like they're imposters. I also know men too, particularly in the creative industries. It can also inflict people generally low socioeconomic upbringing and backgrounds, and it's extremely common within the creative industries. Now, one of the reasons why that is because there is constant criticism in the creative industries. You create an artwork, you put it up in a group show, and people will come and critique your work, whether they do it out loud or not. But I'm sure you've all been there. You've had your work in this group show and you've shown up to the show and you get there and there's three people looking at your artwork and you don't walk over there. You stand there and you look at their body language and you think, oh my God, what mistakes have they found? What have I done wrong? They hate it. What is happening? That is imposter syndrome. If you walk in, see the people looking at your art, when you think, oh, this piece is going to be sold tonight. Look at me. I'm amazing. They love it. I can safely say you do not have imposter syndrome and I am jealous of you. So generally, there's a lot of negative self-talk. So there'll be a lot of churning in your brain saying that you're not good enough, saying that you're a fake, that you're going to be found out. Generally, a lot of people that have imposter syndrome, there'll be this really deep fear of failure. And it can go one of two ways. You could be so paralyzed by the fear of failure that you could procrastinate and not move forward at all. Or you could go the opposite direction and be so scared of the fear of failure that you overwork. And I am that second one, is overwork. So, for example, you have an art show coming up and you need to get 20 pieces done and you're working so hard and you're just pumping and you just want them to be perfect. And you are working 16-hour days leading up to this show and you're just putting everything you have into those artworks and you end up producing 25 works just in case some of them get damaged on the way to the gallery or just in case you sell one and you want to replace it and you overcompensate because you're fearful of the failure. On the other side, you're so fearful, you don't do anything. If you don't try, then you can't fail. If you don't step out of your comfort zone, then you won't fail. So there's one of those two ways. But generally, when you see this imposter syndrome jump up and take over and that really negative self-talk, it's generally part of growth. So for me, I've been doing graphic design. I graduated university with a design degree. And so I've been doing graphic design for over 20 years. So when a client comes to me and they say, okay, we need you to design this and need you to do this and this, I have no problems. There's no part of me that says, oh, you can't do this, Sarah. It's too big. It's too overwhelming. You're not good enough. They're going to find out you're fake. They're going to hate it. That doesn't happen anymore. When clients come to me, I go, yeah, got it. I know that I can bring value to their business and I can really help them and support them. And I know that I'm really good at what I do because I've had 20 plus years of experience. I've had hundreds of clients that have been so happy with the work. I've taught graphic design at university as a sessional academic and so on and so on and so on. There's just so much experience there that I have no problem with it. There's no imposter syndrome. But if I turn around and, for example, start group coaching, which is new this year. I've done one-on-one coaching previously and I've done mentoring previously, but I've not done group coaching. So I've developed this program, built it up, put it online, got a handful of artists in there, been testing it out. It's been going for a few months. All I have had is positive feedback. So positive feedback, let's keep going. But I cannot bring myself to advertise it or to share it with everyone because there's this little voice in my head that's like, you need more experience. You need to be better. You need to know more. You need to be an absolute expert on art and business. You need to be the best before you can launch this program. So I have this little speed hump there about, and it's almost this procrastination side that's like, don't advertise it. Don't tell anyone. No one will sign up. Then you can't fail. Then you can't get negative feedback, which is terrible. So I need to overcome that so that I can then market this program because it is genuinely helping and all the positive things that people say are really good. So I need to keep saying, it's really good. It's going to be great for everyone. Advertise it. The really common feelings for imposter syndrome are self-doubt, fear of failure, perfectionism, and then anxiety. So generally when you're overworking to try and, you know, overcompensate this fear of failure, it can then turn into this churn, which then turns into anxiety, and you start getting worried and anxious that people are going to find out, which is a horrible cycle to be in. Another thing that you may notice if you have imposter syndrome is, for example, say you run an art workshop and you've got 10 people there, and at the end of the workshop, when it's finished, everyone's coming up and they're like, it's great. This is fantastic. That was so well done. I'm so inspired. This is the best workshop I've ever done. And then one person comes up and says, oh, that was great. You just talk really, really quickly though. So maybe one less coffee next time. And you go away and you go home. And all you remember is that one slightly negative comment about how fast you talk. That's imposter syndrome. You can have so many positive comments and you just remember that tiny little criticism. There's also this really horrible feeling that when you make a mistake, it is blown up bigger than it should be. You know, you really feel like you've let yourself down if you make a small mistake, and it's even worse. It's truly exacerbated if you make a mistake and someone calls you out on it, particularly a client or a buyer or something like that. So you made this mistake, someone calls you out, and oh my goodness, the anxiety and the negative self-talk is just gets out of control. So it's not handling that criticism now as an adult that you were taking as a child. Now, I feel like this episode so far has been quite depressing and anxiety inducing. So I'm going to give you some tips to try and help you if you feel like you do have imposter syndrome. Doesn't mean that you have it for the rest of your life. You can do things to help support yourself. Now, I have mentioned a few little tips and I'm going to go through them again now. One of the ones that I like to use, and this is for instant help. And this is generally when I'm feeling really heavy in the moment and I need to get rid of that heavy energy. It's generally around disappointment. So for example, I can't mention too much because I've been told not to mention too much and I might get into trouble. But I went on a game show on TV, and when I was there, I was talking to the hair and makeup lady who talks to a lot of contestants. And she was saying the only thing people are worried about is what other people will think of them. So they're worried that they're going to get a lot of questions wrong or give stupid answers. And they're worried that Australia will watch it on TV and then think that they're duffers. And that's it. That's all I was worried about. That's the only thing that I was anxious about, is making a twat of myself. And I didn't. Again, not allowed to talk about it. but I got home after recording and I had this deep feeling of disappointment. I could have done better and I didn't do as well as I thought I would have. And this heaviness of disappointment just lasted for so long, like weeks. And it just got to the point where I'm just so disappointed in myself. Like, I should have done better. How can I get rid of this disappointment? And he suggested tapping. So EFT tapping, there are amazing videos on YouTube around tapping. And if you type in things like tapping for disappointment, there'll be one there, or tapping for anxiety, or tapping for depression. There are whole loads of them, and it will help you move the energy through your body. I don't know how it works, but it works. And so often when I'm feeling this deep disappointment after making mistakes or not doing a good enough job, I will try and tap, and 9 times out of 10, it will reduce my anxiety and it will reduce that like really heavy feeling. So my first tip, try tapping. It might work for you. It might not. It's up to you. The second tip is to ask for help. So one huge thing that helps me is my therapist. And I'm sure I talk about her a lot on this podcast, but I strongly believe that everyone needs their own therapist, and whether you see them regularly is up to you, but always to have that person there that's on your team for when you may need them. Now, if you want a therapist, I would suggest going to your GP, because you'll need a referral to contact your GP, and then they'll be able to refer you to a therapist, and having that person to then talk about this imposter syndrome to will help a lot. Now, that brings me to my next tip, and that is to talk about it. And that is one of the reasons why I'm recording this podcast, because no one really wants to share that they're feeling like a failure. Like, that in itself is pretty vulnerable and not fun to share. So this podcast is really tough to put out there, but I'm hoping by sharing it with you, some of you go, oh, that's normal. Other people feel like this, particularly in this industry. I'm not alone. Okay, these are the things I can do to help myself so I don't have to deal with this negative talk for the rest of my life. So talk about it. Talk to your friends about it. Talk to your family about it. If it weren't for my dad talking to me about it in my early 20s, I wouldn't have had that opportunity to find these techniques that helped me deal with it and to push through and keep doing the hard things, even though I felt like a fake and I felt like I wasn't good enough to do them. And I kept doing them. So talk about it with other people. The next one is, and this is my favorite one, keep a folder of praise. So it gets really hard, particularly when you're in your studio by yourself and that negative brain starts working and telling you you're not good enough. What you need to do is counteract that. So keep an inbox in your email, a folder full of positive praise. So anytime anyone sends you a beautiful email that's like, oh my God, that was amazing, that was great, I love the artwork, it looks great on our wall, oh gosh, you're talented, I loved your latest newsletter, that was amazing, I saw you do this and it was great, and anything positive, throw it into that folder. And when you start to get this negative talk that comes up, you go back to that folder and you read these positive comments. If someone's written something really nice on Instagram, screenshot it, email it to yourself, put it in the folder. Anything like, if someone sends you a nice note card, photograph it, email it to yourself, put it in the folder. Keep collecting these really positive things that people are saying about you, because they will put them in the folder and keep referring back to it. When I was in grade 12, we went on a school camp. And it was like a leadership camp or something. And there was, I think there was about 60 grade 12s and, or maybe not even that many. And we did this exercise where we sat around in a circle and you wrote your name at the top of this piece of paper and you folded it up like an accordion into this really thin piece, folded it all up. So when someone got the piece of paper, they could see your name on the top of it and they would unfold it a little bit and they had to write something positive about you. So these were girls, because I went to an all-girls school. These were girls that I'd spent the last 5 years with, 4 years with, and they were writing positive things. So you would keep passing it along. You'd see, okay, Sarah's name at the top, something positive about Sarah, and then write something positive, pass it along. And so by the end of the exercise, you had a piece of paper that was just filled with positive comments about yourself. And I still have my piece of paper and I still go back and read it sometimes, because I'm still that happy, energetic person that I was in high school. And it's so positive to read those comments and uplift yourself. So that's tip number four. And my last one is going back to what I said about graphic design. When I first started being a graphic designer, it was hard. And yes, imposter syndrome took over a lot of the time, but I kept doing hard things. And it's very much been like that with murals. So when I started out doing murals, the first wall was overwhelming, but I did it. And then did a few more of them, got used to it, would do bigger exterior walls and show up. And I'd be like, oh my God, this is massive. I can't do this, but I would do it. And then slowly the walls would get bigger and bigger and I would get more and more confident. And over time, the more often you do those hard things, the more confident you get, the quieter that negative self-talk is. And eventually, over time, you will be able to get rid of it. So if you're quite new to art and creating works and you're creating all these paintings and you've got this imposter syndrome playing in your head, keep going. Keep pushing through, keep putting them up online, keep putting them out on social media. It gets easier and easier, I promise. So hopefully some of these tips have helped. Hopefully you can do some of your own research around imposter syndrome too. There is a ton of information out on the internet that is there to support you. If you need help now, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. They always have someone there, and you can also text them too. I'll put all those links in the show notes. Otherwise, have a fantastic week and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Art and Business and Murals podcast. Please feel free to reach out by email at podcasts@sarahscully.com or follow up the show notes on the website at sarahscully.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends and fellow creatives. I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which I record this podcast, the Gubbi Gubbi people, and I'd like to pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging.